my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. And he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. Thank you, Brother Ricky, for that wonderful song. And I do want to say to you this morning, we're glad that you're here. Thank you for all those of you who were in the revival and for all of those who brought special burdens requests last Sunday morning. And God met with us. He helped me. I trust that he helped you. And the Lord just really did something in my life and helped me each night. Each service was a blessing. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. And I'm going to read two or three passages here this morning for you. And you please continue to remember to pray for me. Regina is making good progress, but you ask God's blessing on her. And then for me, seems like what I've been dealing with, kind of like she did for the last little while, has kind of gone down into my chest now. So I may go in the morning and see what's going on. And so you just pray for us. Tonight we have a very special guest. Our missionary, Brother Arnold from the Philippines, is going to be coming by. He was with us two or three years ago, a very articulate young man. Lord's got his hand on him, plays the piano and sings. And so you'll be blessed in the service tonight. Of course, I'll be here. And but we're looking forward to having him here tonight and looking forward to homecoming coming up first Sunday in October. Next Sunday night will be the fifth Sunday night sing. Brother Brad's asking for family groups. And so you make plans to have, plan on singing. It's going to be a great night. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a real blessing. I want you to pray for all those on our prayer list. I won't try to go back over them again. I do want to encourage you to keep all those families and all those friends in prayer. Now, Brother Johnny Benson texted Sandra on yesterday, and I think today they're going to try to move him to Liberty Commons to continue his recuperation and rehab. So you remember to pray for him. They already have a room assigned for him there. And you pray for him and for all the rest of them as well. And I told Brad I hadn't. Of course, I didn't preach any last week other than last Sunday morning. So we'll see how this goes. Me and Brad may have to tag team. I may have to go tag him and get him to finish up this morning for me, but we'll see. I want you to look in your Bibles, please, if you will, for me, in the book of 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2. I want to look at verse number 15. Now, I'm going to read the entire chapter, so you listen very carefully and follow with me in the Bible. And then I'm going to look over to chapter 4 and read a passage there. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That means the world system, not the geological world, but the world system. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now listen very carefully. Little children, it is the last time. Now, in the Bible, you'll see the phrase last time, last days. Here, in this time, sometime shortly after Christ, maybe less than 100 years after Christ had died on the cross, they considered it to be the last times. The clock began counting. It's going down. There was a great change took place in our nation in 1948 when Israel became a nation once again. That fulfilled so many Bible prophecies. The alignment now of all the Confederate states, including Germany, Turkey, and all of those other countries there, the great powers of the North, the rise of the great powers of China, you won't pick up hardly anything around your house or anywhere else that doesn't have China on it. Several years ago, China began buying up the funeral homes across America, and a large number of the funeral homes are owned by Chinese corporations. They are involved in so many things. I have a life insurance policy I've had for some time. Got a notice that my life insurance company is being bought out by a corporation in China. Now, if I die, Regina may have a hard time collecting, so y'all watch. They are owning a large portion of our country. And those great powers of the east are mentioned in the book of Revelation and Ezekiel and in Isaiah and Daniel and what's going to happen in the end times. These are the last time here, but we are living, I believe, in the last days. I believe the days are counting down. Very soon, it'll be time. We'll be no more. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back. This world will plunge into the great tribulation period. But now notice what he said. Little children, these are the last times. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction, that is an anointing from God, from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That's the work of Antichrist. It's the work here of these that he's mentioned, a work of seduction and seducing. And he said, they're active in the world. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, it and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that ye shall not, and when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before his coming. He's tied together the work of Antichrist going on currently in the world. He told us about the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God with us, and he tells us to abide in Christ that we might not be ashamed at his coming when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now, look over to chapter 4. In the midst of all of this book that has so much to say about love, he's given us these very pertinent warnings that you and I need to heed. Notice in chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and of error. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would empower me. God, I pray you take over. Lord, these are your people, and I want to thank you for every one of them. Thank you for a wonderful week last week of revival. Thank you, our Father, for touching and blessing hearts on Sunday morning, for the many who came and kneeled around this altar, looking to you and desiring of you to meet needs and answer requests and forgive. And God, I want to thank you for your promise once again that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, I pray that those who wrote certain things on their card, our Father, by faith, have acknowledged that. And now, Lord, I pray you'd give them a blessed assurance that, God, you keep your word, that it's a done deal with you. It's gone. And I pray, God, the enemy, that wicked spirit that would seduce us, I pray, God, he'll help us not to live in defeat. But, God, I pray that you'd help us to trust the Spirit of the living God, that we might live in victory and have power and joy and, God, be a witness for Christ. And Father, I pray, God, now that, God, that you'd speak to the hearts of all those in the media audience and here this morning. God, I pray, God, as we try to share the word of God that you put on my heart, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would take complete control. God, I acknowledge before you there's no good thing in me. And God, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God right now would make Christ manifest. I surrender as best I know how, yield my mind, my body. God, you speak through me this morning, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, there's a recurring thought in these passages I've read to you, and that is that we are saved by the grace of God, and we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, but there are enemies. Satan does not want you to get saved. He'll do everything he can. The Bible said, if there's any that believe not, it's because that Satan hath blinded their minds, lest they would believe the gospel. And so if you've been saved, he didn't want you to get saved. He did everything he could to keep you from getting saved. But now he wants to do everything he can to keep you from living for God. But now there's a bigger picture than that. He's dealing with us. He was dealing with them on an individual a plane of life. During their lifetime, he was dealing with them personally. But he was saying to them, you have heard that Antichrist is coming. There's a scheme to this whole thing. There is a program of satanic power. And what's it all about? First of all, where did Satan come from? How did he come? Who is this person called Antichrist? What is the spirit of Antichrist? And it says here, there are many Antichrists in the world. Well, let me just kind of give you this picture. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, if you want to turn there, I'll read just briefly a couple of passages of Scripture. Here's one of the classic passages of Scripture that most Bible believers believe pictures what happened in many, many years ago. God had created angels. He's created all of them. And angels are reality. They are here now. They are ministering spirits in this building today. They're around the children of God. They aid us. Now, we're not to worship angels. We acknowledge their existence. We thank God for their part in our life. But when you go through the Bible, you'll see the appearance of angels all the way through. There were many angels in the Bible. But when you come to this passage of Scripture in Isaiah, it goes back in time, back in creation, actually, even right after that. But he created levels of angels, different levels. There are three primary angels, or I guess you'd say ruling angels. One was Gabriel, one was Michael, and one was one named Lucifer. They are what's called the archangels. They were God's echelon, high echelon of the angel population of heaven, and there are millions of them. Seraphims and different descriptions of them. But in one passage of Scripture, it's described that they fly across heaven. They have six wings, and they fly across heaven. They cover their feet with two. They cover their face with two. And with two, they do fly, and they fly across heaven. And their job is worship. And they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou art holy. You remember the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary and to Joseph and in all through. But now this other one named Lucifer, what about him? Notice in Isaiah, if you will, please, this passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 14, and look at verse number 12. How they're fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell and the sides of the pit. In the context, there are earthly rulers that are hearing this prophecy. But it goes far beyond just those two or three. I have a hard time doing stuff like that, drinking and eat. I can't drink and drive. I do appreciate it, and I may have to for it. So I want you to listen. I certainly don't want my voice to be a distraction. I want you to listen now. Listen. There was a time in heaven. Remember when they came before, when Satan came up before the Lord and accused Job? This is before that. There was a time that all the archangels that were created by God and all the other multitudes of angels lived in harmony. But there's a rebellion in heaven. And one of the archangels named Lucifer, you hear what he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the heavens. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to be equal with God. That desire has never changed from him. His position has changed. But that desire has only intensified over these years. His job is to reject and replace God. And he does that now. That's what he talks about, the many antichrists that are in the world. That's what he was talking about when he talked about those who would seduce you. Satan wants to replace God, exalt himself, and be as God, to reject and replace Christ. And so he's called Antichrist. Now, that fall occurred. When you go to the book of Revelation, I won't take time to turn to that, but let me give you the reference. You look at it later. Revelation chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. When you go to Revelation 12, 8 and 9, you'll find that when he was cast out, there were many other angels that came with him. Now we identify them as being fallen angels or demons. Demons are real. So in this world, you have the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit. You have angels, which are the ministering spirits. They are the good angels. But you also have the satanic influence of Satan, and he is the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere around this world. And at his disposal, he has many of his angels, which are called demons. And there is an ongoing battle. But now, can I tell you, it's not a fair fight. Satan doesn't come that close to being equal with a holy God. But he is far greater than you are. He's far smarter than you are. He's much more powerful than you are. And he would destroy you because you are the object of God's love. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy everything about you. Because God loves you, he hates you. Whatever God loves, he hates. And he has an agenda. His agenda has never changed. He wants to be the ruler of all of the world. And when you come to the book of Revelation, you'll see that take place for just a brief time period. He will be ruler. The church will have been raptured. I believe the saints of God are gone. There will be many people who've never heard the gospel that will get saved. Israel will be born in a day. They are turned to the Messiah whom they've pierced, and they look to him. There will be massive persecution. They'll be put to death because of their belief in Jehovah God, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be a seal, a mark of the beast placed on everybody. They'll not be allowed to buy anything because he's the world ruler. That's where he's heading. Now, John, back here now, somewhere just a little over 100 years after Christ has died and been buried and resurrected back in heaven, said it's already at work. He said there are now many antichrists in the world, and Satan has been cast out of heaven. Lucifer, and now we call him Satan, Beelzebub, the old dragon, so on. He's real. He has all these disposal. But now that spirit of Antichrist is that satanic spirit that's in the world. It is ungodly. He's here to seduce and to tempt and to destroy. He's here to hinder the gospel. He's here to wreck your life. Christ said he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In the life of the believer, he would try in every way he can to defeat you. He'll fight against you reading the Bible. He'll fight against you in your prayer life. He'll try to put bitterness and division among God's people. Christ said we're to love one another, care one for another, forgive one another. And that's the way we're supposed to be. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. So what he's going to try to do is get us all crossed up. Get us to where we have bitterness and hatred and anger and unforgiving spirits and lustful spirits and live like that. He's going to try to get that. And for those of you who don't know Christ, what he's trying to do is to keep you from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies this. He said, the spirit of Antichrist is one that does not believe that Christ has come in the flesh, the Messiah has come, and they don't believe in Jesus, and that he's taken that truth and perverted it. And he's trying to give you alternatives to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Satan has taken every possible means of creating chaos in the world by having people not to receive Christ. He'll tell you that you've got plenty of time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Christ said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But Satan will tell you, you've got plenty of time to get saved. You can wait till tomorrow. You can wait till tomorrow. And he'll get you to put it off until you die and go to hell for all eternity. And you never do get saved. And you'll cry out, why did I listen? Why did I let him seduce me? Why did I not receive Christ? Why did I not be born again by the grace of God? He'll deceive you about sin. He'll say there's pleasure in sin. And everybody does it, and it's just a natural thing. But the Bible said the wage of sin is death, and he'll try to pervert that and twist that around. And he'll try to say the only reason people have any sense of guilt is because they've lived in a society that's taught them this is wrong. And if they lived in a society where it was not taught that it was wrong, you wouldn't feel bad about it. You wouldn't have any consequence to it. And that's a lie to hell. There is a consequence to sin. The wage of sin is death. And the Holy Ghost of God brings us to a place where we realize that. But Satan would nullify what sin is. He'd numb your body to the sensitivity of your own conscience to where you will not recognize sin in your life. He'll try every way he can to wreck you. Now, what's going on now? What was already beginning? These are the last time. He said he's already at work because his ultimate goal is to rule. Now, in order to rule, he's got to create a culture. In order to rule, he's got to create an environment. I can remember, I was sitting there listening in the beginning of the service, and this was running through my mind. I'm thinking about times in my life when I was a younger man that you'd have a normal presidential election year, and there would be a Democratic person and a Republican person running. I can remember the time when there were people who would prefer to have a Republican, others who would prefer to have a Democrat. But of those two men, when it was all said and done and the voice of the people was heard, America would say, that's God's choice for us. And the truth of the matter is that there's been a time that when a Democrat or Republican morally and patriotically and his love for this country was identical. The only difference was maybe certain things in society or those type of thing. But the men's character were the same. That's why when there were Democratic presidents in days gone by, I'm talking about way back, Yana, that I was proud to be an American because I knew I had somebody who was leader of this country, who was of high moral character, who loved this country. 99% of them believed in God and loved him. And whether it was a Democrat or Republican, we could feel that way. But now the culture has so changed. He's been cultivating all these years since then, and he's grooming the minds of kids and young people, and he's used all kind of institutions to do that. He's used different type of seductions to do that. And he's created this atmosphere. In order for him to be accepted as a world ruler, he has to change the entire attitude, the entire culture of this world, so that they would be willing to take him as ruler. You know yourself, there are some men running, women running for political office that in your early years, nobody would even seriously consider them because of who they are. But my dear friend, the culture has changed. How, why has it changed like that? Why is it? Because the spirit of Antichrist, he talks about, he's working and he has captivated the minds and hearts of this country and of this world to where they are willing to reject God and accept anti-God, no God. I heard David Gibbs say on radio not long ago, he was alarmed at the trend in America. In a recent survey of children, young people, he found that there had been a dramatic increase in the amount of young teenagers saying they are atheists. They no longer believe in God. And it's happened in the last few years. And he said, it is astounding to where there was like 1% who would say they were atheists or didn't believe in God, to now 13%, and it may be, I think it's probably higher than that, who don't even believe there is a God in America, in America. The culture in England many years ago was one of Bible preaching and churches and missions and all of that. Now, about 1% of the population of the whole nation of England claim to be a Christian, 1%. The culture's so changed. The thought patterns have so changed. There's such a sense of frustration that you can't get this done, can't get that done. Everybody fusses and fights, and there's only contention all the time. The world very soon will begin clamoring for a one world leader. Somebody who can come on the scene and create unity. It's all about unity. Everything you hear is all about unity. Unity, unity, unity. All around the world, they want unity. Their mindset, the culture has been so changed. I've been reading through the book of Romans. After we finish John, I'm going to go to Romans. But I've just been reading and writing down little things that God speaks to my heart about. Several weeks ago now, I was reading once again 1 John. And this very pointed statement, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And in chapter 1, verse 8, it said, whereas they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They have turned from God. Our climate is changing. There was a time when you know and I know that people who never went to church respected the Bible and believed in God. But that's changed. They'll tell you flat, I don't believe the Bible. I'm not even sure there's a God. That's what's going on in the world. And he said, I want you to know, children, they're already here and they're already working, and he wants to subdue you. He wants to get you into his grips. But now the good news. He said, but I want you to realize and know something. And back in the book of 1 John, he gives us these wonderful statements that I was couched in all of that warning about Antichrist and everything else. Go back to 1 John and let me read this to you so you can mark it in your Bible and that you'll have it written down so you will remember it. And he said this in verse 4. He's just got through telling us about trying the spirits. He gets to tell us about the spirit of Antichrist. And then he says in verse 4 of chapter 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not me, but it's him. And I want you to know you're living in days that you'll be bewildered about what's going on ahead of you, what's going on in our nation. Just understand there's a big picture to this thing. We're getting ready for Antichrist, who will one day ultimately be personified evil in this world. And and you find it in the book of Revelation, but we're heading that away. And he tells them, there's a group of us and a group of them, but we've heard the gospel, and we have the gospel message, and we're to share that gospel message that some might be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and brought to the kingdom of light. God is greater. He said, the God that's inside of you is greater. He's of greater holiness than all the wickedness of Satan. He's holy. He is so holy that his very presence would incinerate wickedness in his presence. He's holy. He's complete opposite of everything that Satan is, and he lives inside of you because you trusted Christ as your Savior. And that holy God lives inside of you, and he empowers you. He has greater wisdom, not only greater holiness, but he has greater wisdom. And I don't know, the Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. That's the methods of the devil. And he's so seductive. And there's some key issues. We used to call him Little Don, but he's not little. I know we don't want to call him Little Don anymore now. But he might still be, but he loved to trap. There's some things about trapping. First of all, Satan is interested in trapping you. And in order to be trapped, that trap must be well designed. There are certain types of traps. There are live traps, there are catch traps, and there are different kinds of traps. And for different types of animals. And Satan has a trap for every one of you. He's got a trap for every person in this world. And it's well designed. He's been working on it since he fell out of heaven. How is he going to get this man? How is he going to get that kid? How is he going to get that woman? He's got a trap. But then it has to be well designed, but it has to be well baited. You don't put the same bait in for every kind of animal. There's a certain type of bait that will lure them into that place. And he knows exactly what you need. Paul warned us in another place about the sin that thus so easily beset us. There's things that you and I are more tempted by than others. And he knows exactly what your cravings are. Satan knows all that. And I'm going to tell you something. He's smarter than you are. Animals have that innate instinct in them, but they still get caught in traps. They need something that you and I have. We need the indwelling Holy Ghost. And he said, you have an unction of God. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you that he'll warn you. He'll give you a sense. I remember I was hunting one time when I was in Reedsville, and I was up on a creek bank way up high, and it's a beautiful creek, and I sat there just looking at the creek, enjoying it, and I heard a little noise, and I looked, and probably the biggest buck I've ever seen was coming down the creek. He was kind of about just a little ways up the hill from the creek, but he was walking along the creek side. And when I first saw him, just a step or two after that, was a perfect shot. He was a little bit far, and I had to turn a little bit. But I knew the creek was running right in front of me, and he'd have to come right in front of me. And so I said, still, I didn't breathe. And I saw him, and he walked, and just he stepped. And right between me and he was the biggest oak tree I've ever seen in my life. He stopped right behind that oak tree. All I could see was the ends of his antlers sticking out. He stood there, it seemed like for hours. I know it wasn't that long, but it seemed like that long. My heart was beating out of my chest. I said, one more step, big boy, and you go into the house with me. And all of a sudden, he turned and walked directly away from me with that tree between me and him. And the next time I saw him, he was 200 yards down that creek. He stepped out of the creek and turned and looked at me and said, I'm going to my house. How'd he do that? Well, he had that instinct in him. But you and I don't have enough instinct in us to know the trap of Satan. But you do have the Holy Ghost of God inside of you. That's why it's so important that you stay in tune with him, with prayer and being right with him, not have a thing between your soul and the Savior. My dear friend, he's wiser than Satan. And he'll warn you and keep you from getting in trouble. But then he's greater in power than Satan. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to him. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to save us to the uttermost. My dear friend, he's able to sustain us, and he'll carry us right on through the valley of the shadow of death. He's greater. So what do you learn from this lesson today? What do you learn from this Bible truth today? Something you can take to house with you. Number one, you must recognize the presence of Antichrist in the world and his agenda, his presence and his program. He's got a program. You're going to either be a part of his program or you'll be a part of Christ's program. Christ made it simple. You're either with me or you're against me. Either one. You're either part of the program of Antichrist or you're part of the program of Christ. Then not only must you recognize his presence and his power, but you must realize Antichrist's power as well as his purpose. He is extremely powerful. You're not to fear him, you're to respect him, not with a reverential trust like you trust Christ, but you understand what it is. You need to understand the power. If you're fooling with dynamite, you need to understand the power of that dynamite. If you're working with electricity, 220 volts or whatever, you don't have to fear it, but you better respect it. You know what it'll do to you. And I know how powerful it is. I realize his power. I understand that my flesh is weak. I understand that I'm no match for Satan. But then the last thing is this. We must rely and rejoice in the power and the peace of Christ. In the darkness you're living in the world that you're living in, I can tell you one thing about it. It's not going to get better. Wicked men will wax worse and worse. The influence of Antichrist will get to where one day he'll rule temporarily a large portion of this world. But my dear friend, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and we have overcome him. And he says over in chapter number 5, verse 4, what is it that overcomes him? Even our faith. Not the level of our faith, the degree of our faith, but the object of our faith. We believe Christ. I believe that he's able to keep me. I believe that he's able to help me. He was able to save me. I believe with all of my heart that he will continue working me. And I know that in the hour I'm living in, I can still walk with God, still live for him, still be a witness for Christ in spite of what's going on. How many will get saved? That's between them and God. But I can witness for Christ. There are numbers that will follow Satan, but there are some that will trust Christ. And I want God to use us all in these last days to win souls for Christ. Satan, he said, came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Christ said, I've come to give. I've come to give you life and joy and peace. Satan came to kill, he said, but Christ said, I've come to give you life and power and give you life more abundantly. Satan came to steal, to kill. Satan came to destroy, but Christ said, I've come to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's going to be the winner. Ultimately, he will win. And like I said, Satan is a defeated foe. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, and he's done that for all those who trust Christ as their Savior and Lord. Would you bow your heads for prayer right now? Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying. And I'm praying that the Word of God will find lodging in your heart in this passage of Scripture. Be aware. Realize that the presence of Antichrist is here. Then you ought to recognize and realize his power. But then we must totally rely on Christ, who is greater. He is the God of this universe. Satan is a created being that one day will be consigned, like he said in Isaiah, down to hell for all eternity. By the way, he is not the ruler of hell. Revelation, I just want to say this to remind the devil. There's a time in Revelation where it says, Satan is bound and cast into that lake of fire. where the beast and the false prophets are. And he said he'll be tormented day and night, forever and forever and forever. Spiritual torment for a spiritual being who rebelled against God and who tried to seduce the saints of God and stop the work of God, but he was not successful, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God spoke to your heart today. I want to give you a warning. John said there are those who would seduce you, these spirit of Antichrist. They would seduce you. He said, don't listen to every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they are God or not. And the only way to be sensitive to that is to be close to God. If there's a reason he said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You've got to be in tune with Christ. You need to be close to the Holy Ghost and let him fill you and flood you and control you. Live in the shadow of the Almighty under his presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I have great consolation in his ability, his weaponry, not mine. But I challenge you, Christians, you be faithful. Be faithful to the house of God, to the things of God. If I could, I had some of our faithful members ask me, Brother Billy, where is all our folk at? We had a good crowd, but so many didn't make it to revival. I'm telling you, I'm feeling for you and your family. You need to get closer to Christ than you've ever been in these days. Be faithful. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the attention of your people here in the building and in the internet audience, and those who will later hear this message on the radio. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will pierce hearts. Make them keenly aware that they are part of something that's really, really big. There is a world domination plan in place. And for just a brief moment, you will allow him to rule during the time of tribulation. But God, I'm glad there's a way to break the power of darkness. I'm glad, our Father, we can be translated out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to do what I cannot do, convict of sin, righteous judgment. Draw by your grace and save for Jesus' sake those in the media audience and in this building who are lost. I pray, God, you bring Holy Ghost conviction, God, that they might understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wage of sin is death, and trust Christ as their Savior. And then, Father, I pray, God, that you would help us who are believers to understand the seriousness. Our Father, you warned us through the prophet, through the apostle Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Our Father, we are a target. And I pray, God, you'd help us to have victory over Satan. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Brother Brad may have a verse of a song he feels led to sing this morning. I'm not going to keep you very long. I do want to remind you that you're living in a world that there's satanic influence everywhere around you. You need to walk in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be close to him. Love him. Fellowship with him. In this dark hour, you can still have light. You can still know him. Still have victory. And if you're not there today, I would encourage you to come get around this old-fashioned altar and ask God to fill you and flood you and forgive you and to use you for his glory. Walk in fellowship with him. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, he'll save you if you'll call on him right now. I pray that you will. I encourage you to come now. As God's people make a move, I believe God's people always lead the way. But Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. We're going to go home in a moment, but I hope that God will make very real to you what I've said this morning from this passage of Scripture. As God leads your heart, you obey him now. You may want to just come around this altar and say, God, help me stay close to you. God, fill me in these days. Oh, Lord Jesus, move here in this place. God, touch lives for Jesus' sake. God, I pray once again that, God, you deal with lost sinners, and God, that you deal with your people. In Jesus' name. While we're praying, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Brad will sing a verse of a song, and I invite you to come right now. Will you come? Come on right now. Join these around the altar, men around the altar already. I'm telling you, do business with God. Paul said, I die daily. And I'm going to tell you something. Every morning when I arise, I try to kneel before the Lord. And if God brings something specific to my mind, I say, God, forgive me for that. But if I don't have anything specific that day, I say, oh, God, I pray you deal with me. Purge me. I want to be clean. God, don't let anything come between my soul and the Savior today. Help me to walk with you. So don't you be embarrassed about coming to the altar every Sunday. Come here and you worship with him, fellowship with him, and deal, let him deal with you, and you speak to him on the behalf of others. God's Holy Ghost speaks to you. I invite you to come right now. Brad will sing one more verse. I love this old song. I need him
every hour.
Every hour.
Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Savior, I come to thee.
Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge our need. Every one of us needs you this morning. And God, I pray, God, that what you spoke to my heart about will be real to them. I pray, our Father, God, that they have really listened and they'll be doers of the word, not hearers only. God, make us aware of the world we're living in. Help us to understand the awesomeness of our God, and that it is simple faith in Christ and walking by faith, feeding on the Word of God, fellowship with God's people, worshiping with God's people, reading the Word of God. Now, Father, that greatly benefit us and give you glory and help us to be a blessing to others in these days. Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. Our Father, I could be as crazy as anybody in this world. I could be involved in every kind of lustful activity, all kind of wicked things. But God, in marvelous grace, you saved me. I know heaven's my home. And God, I pray, God, that you just bless your people now. God, bless them. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet every need. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.